GreatSuccess.com.
Father, we thank you for the privilege to learn at your feet again today. Thank you for all the past episodes. Thank you for the word you keep sending to us every single day. We magnify the Lord in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray today that you visit everyone and that no one returns back the same way. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. Amen. Praise God. The topic remains the wells of water, and it's the do's and don'ts. What are the do's and don'ts of opportunities? Recognizing and maximizing opportunities in life and destiny. That is still the topic and the series we've been going through. Have you been missing opportunities and struggling to keep and maximizing them when they come around? Also, have you been wondering why some people seem to keep getting opportunities every day, while others seem to be leaking them or throwing them away by the day? Maybe you've been wondering in your life or in my life why the things I'm looking for seem not to be forthcoming, the kind of success I need seem not to be forthcoming. Well, God has answers for us today in this episode. And we've gone through this series for a couple of weeks. We've learned about places, the importance of places in opportunities, and how God actually grants us opportunities through people, and that these opportunities happen in places, and also that time is of essence, that even if all the other variables in opportunities are present, if we are not timely, if we don't value the time there, then we may just be missing our time. May we not miss it, in Jesus' name. So this episode is a guide on how to prepare for opportunities, receive them, and maximize them. Number one thing we need to learn today is that we should not wait for opportunities. Don't wait for opportunities. That's number one, don't. Why? Because they come disguised, and they come at the odd times you didn't expect them, like a thief in the night. Like Jesus said, Jesus told us the story of the 10 virgins, that 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were not as wise. And why some have extra oil, the other ones didn't have extra oil. They didn't know when the bridegroom was going to come, and then some missed the opportunity because he lingered a little longer. That is how it is in life. Opportunities linger a little longer, and if you don't have oil, if you don't have tenacity, if you don't have perseverance, you may just be missing it. Because it doesn't look like it's coming doesn't mean it's not coming. No. If God has promised, He will surely fulfill it. Praise the Lord. And then, before I go to number two, let's remember the man at the pool of Bethesda. He waited and waited. Imagine, first year gone, second year, then 38 years. That's how life can fly by. Just fly away. And we look back and you're like, really? I'm this old, 20 years old, 30, 40, 50. You know, when I was much younger and my dad was still here on earth then, he would tell us stories, you know, of several years ago, maybe 50 years ago. And we'll be wondering, how come he remembers all those stories as if he was saying them yesterday? I mean, he will say them to detail. We mention people. I'm like, how does he remember all those things? I was so much young then. I'm like, I'm just maybe 15 years old. How come I forget things that just happened? And my dad can remember things that happened years ago. Well, now I'm beginning to understand little by little how 20 years, 30 years ago can look like yesterday. That's how opportunities can fly by. And then, if we keep counting and waiting for opportunities, before we know it, God forbid, that person may just be at the end of his life because he was waiting. Waiting for opportunities is dangerous. In fact, I think it's the only unpredictable way to access opportunities. If you want a predictable way of getting opportunities, don't wait. We'll talk more about this, but one thing we are learning, the don't is don't wait for opportunities. Don't wait for them to show up. You get ready for them. You live prepared. You live ready. It's just like, you know, Jesus is still coming to come and take his saints. However, if you are waiting for Jesus to come, while on earth, someone may lose relevance, may not be able to have impact in life and destiny because that person is just waiting. However, if you live ready, that means you can still be maximizing life in every area. However, your life, your spirituality, everything is prepared for him. You're just living prepared. So that's exactly what God wants from us. So the second don't is, don't wait for the right people. Remember, people is just one of the variable of opportunities. So, don't wait for the right people or the right person to show up in any area of life. In marriage, in business, in career, whatever you're doing, don't wait for the right people. How should we actually handle this? Treat everyone like they are right and you will not miss the right people. Everyone that comes away, just treat them well. Treat them according to scriptures. Remember what the Bible says, that if somebody comes into your midst without good apparel, looking normal, looking humble, not looking flashy or rich, say, don't tell that person, hey, sit down on the floor. Why you tell the rich man to sit on the chair? No. In our hearts, we should not do that. In reality, in life, we should not do that. He said, treat everyone with respect. Treat everyone like they are the right set of people, and you will end up not missing the right people. If you and I will treat everyone we meet along the way with respect, with courtesy, with honor, we will not meet the right people that will help our destiny. Every client that comes to you, even if they are not paying much, still treat them very well, because you'll be shocked at how much opportunity that one person can bring your way, or the second person that comes like him. If you think, oh, because it's not paying much, let me just do a shady job, then you will end up doing a shady job for the person who God has actually sent your way. That's why we must treat everyone like they are the right people that we are expecting. Do you know that in business, people use the free things you give out as a measure of the paid packages you have? There's what we call lead magnet in business, for example. If your lead magnet is poor, just do it anyhow because you want to get people's email. Those people will end up not buying from you. But if you treat it, the value you have put there is actually so much. You know, I've actually seen that online. I've seen somebody's website that the value that person gave is so much that if you wanted to sell it, he could as well sell it for like $5,000, $10,000. But he was giving it free. Do you think if that person wants to sell something you won't buy? You will. For example, I just bought the person's book recently because I know that the little video I watched I gave free, I just felt like, no, there must be more in the book. That's exactly what happens. So even if people are not paying you for anything, the service you do in church, the service you do in your community, the things you do free, do it very well, because apart from the fact that you carry the same attitude to the things that you want to get benefit from, it is the same spirit. People will see your quality offering. There is no difference between what you do free and what you do well. In real life, there's actually no difference between the two. The real difference is that people check the quality. Do the quality well. Do you know how many people have actually entered into their destiny, launched a great business because of what they were doing in church? I've heard stories about people who started a media company and they didn't even have a background in photography or anything like that, but because they learned it in their unit in church. And then people said, oh, you're so good at this thing. And then it became their business. I've watched somebody like that. He's so prosperous now. But how did he start? In church, we'll just be doing these things free. And people say, oh, you're so good at this thing. And then it became a business for him. Treat your boss right. For example, people think, oh, because the job I have is very small, let me just do it anyhow. When the big one comes, I'll do it well. No, it doesn't happen like that in real life. Have you ever heard about people that their current boss recommended them for a bigger role, something he couldn't even afford? He recommended them that, I know this guy is very good at what he does. You are my friend. You need someone. Let me give him to you. Let him go and be helping you. Let him be the one you want to hire. How will that happen? It's because the person was doing well in the job that was not paying well. The same way for bosses, treat your staff right. He or she may be the one to bring the idea that God will use to revolutionize your whole life and business. For example, see the servant of Naaman the leper in the Bible. Naaman was a Syrian soldier, and he had a servant who was a slave girl that was taken from Israel. Apart from the fact that that girl will have the passion of God, it must be that they are treating that girl well. That's why he felt, oh, these people are so nice to me, even though I'm a slave. This guy can be healed from his sickness. And he told them, see, my master, please, don't be angry. If you can go to Israel, I know they are your enemies, but there's a prophet there. If you can meet him, you'll be cleansed. Maybe she has seen him in pain and all that, and in shame, so strong, but so weak when it comes to the sickness. And then Naaman was set free because of his servant. There was nothing in their life. So, even if you are giving a free service, do it like you are being paid for it. Treat your boss right. Then treat your staff right. And then treat every client, every customer, every buyer like they are the best in the world. Because you really don't know the one that is meant for you. Just make sure everyone is good. Treat everyone alike. Treat them very specially. And then before you know it, one person will recommend one to another. I've said this over and over again. My business, for almost 4 years or so, I wasn't running Facebook ads. I wasn't doing Google ads. It was just referrals. Somebody would tell somebody that, oh, Femi is very good. Hire him. Femi is very good. Let him do your website for you. Femi is very good at this. People are just telling people. There is a reason behind that. Treat every client, every customer, every buyer like they are the best in the world. Treat them like they are paying you $1 million. And eventually you won't meet the right one when it comes with that kind of money. And this is really, really biblical. Another don't is, don't wait to treat the right place the right way. Now, some of us will probably live in rented apartments and you're like, I'm just renting the house, I'm paying my landlord some money. So, I mean, let them fix everything. I would treat the house anyhow. Well, whoever does that is actually undoing himself, because that's how you're going to treat your own house. That's the truth. When I learned that secret, the next thing I did, I didn't know that before. So the house I was doing, not that I was treating it anyhow, but I didn't treat it like it was my own. We didn't treat it shabbily, but there was no meant. You know, there's a difference between when you are thinking like this is my own and when you're just using it. So when somebody taught me that, I was like, oh, really? The next thing we did was, I got paint. I painted the whole house. I made sure it looked good. I fixed some things in that house. I started treating it like my own house. So, if you will treat anywhere you are now, it may not be the best place. The house you are living, the job you are, the country you are living, whichever way. If you treat it like it's part of your destiny, you will see that God will begin to remember you. Remember the Bible says something. It said, let me just paraphrase now. Pray for the well-being of Jerusalem, for those who think about it will prosper in it. Those who look for the well-being of Jerusalem will prosper in doing that. Let's remember that saying that what goes around comes around is still very true. Jesus said, treat others like you would like them to treat you. That's the word of God. That's Jesus. So your job, your business, your rented house, your rented apartment, or anything you're using, treat that place like it is the place you've been looking for all your life. Those are the don'ts. And then what are the do's that make sure we can get opportunities and maximize it? So, number one, develop the capacity to take more. Develop the capacity to take more. See, opportunities keep flying around, but it doesn't have a place to land. It's just like a plane, and they said, oh, something's wrong. And then the plane is roaming around the sky, looking for where to actually land. And it can land. That's how opportunities are. See, let me tell you, and let me tell us, so to say, there are opportunities around you and I every day. The first question is, can I see it? The second question is, do I have the capacity to receive this opportunity, to maximize it? If somebody were to give you $1 billion now, do you have the capacity to handle it? Let's just be factual. Let's be truthful. I want to make millions. Do I have the capacity? And that is why God always brings some of us through challenges, so that we can develop capacity to take the blessing He wants to put in our lives. There's this funny story in the Bible. We read it also, and it's one of the scriptures we read in this series. Jesus saw Peter. And Jesus said, "Cast your net at the right side." And they caught a lot of fishes, and their net began to break. What does that symbolize? That tells us that the net did not have the capacity for the kind of prosperity God wants to give them. Did you know in another place in the book of John, where after Jesus resurrected, when Peter took some of the disciples and then they just went to fish because they were probably confused and angry and wondering what's going to happen. Jesus had died now and all that. And Jesus resurrected. And Jesus showed up to them. They didn't even know it was Jesus. And Jesus said, "Cast your net to the right side again." And the Bible said they caught large fishes. And their net did not break. Why did the Bible say it at one point that their net broke? And then at another point that their net did not break? At that point, they probably, it's not literally now, but spiritually speaking, it's just symbolizing that when you develop capacity, you can really take more without being broken down. Do you know that some people, the moment they begin to prosper financially, every other thing in their life breaks down. Spirituality goes down. They lose sense of God. They are ashamed to talk about Jesus. They don't want to have anything to do with church. They are too big to go to church. They are too big to serve in church. Their family crumbles. Their morality goes down. Everything just goes down because they started making a lot of money. That is their net breaking. They don't have enough capacity to undo that opportunity that God has given them. Every wealth in the kingdom of God is what they call entrustment. God just entrusted to you. God just says, "Hey, I'm giving you this money. How are you going to do it?" It's just like the parable of talents. That God says, "Take this talent. You have developed capacity to handle this. Now maximize it. Bring more. Multiply it." So we must develop the capacity. Remember the scripture that says, "Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, make room to the right, to the left." So God is saying, if what you want at the end of this year is that level of prosperity, that level of success, that level of goodness in any area of life, maritally, financially, morally, spiritually, he's saying develop capacity. For some of us, to develop capacity spiritually, it is to go into sessions of reading the Bible, into sessions of fasting, because that's how you develop capacity spiritually. Financially, you have to learn how money works. You have to learn how to spend money. You have to learn how to make money. You have to learn how to multiply it. These things don't come naturally. Unfortunately, they don't come naturally. Except maybe you grew up in a house where somebody actually taught you, and then it's still not natural. You have to learn it. Maybe through the Word of God, principles of the Bible, from people outside there, from coaches, from mentors. Develop capacity to take more. Your net does not have to break. Every other thing in your life does not have to break because you are succeeding. No. So someone said, luck is the point at which opportunity meets preparation. What are the do's of opportunities? Get ready. Prepare. Develop the capacity to get more opportunities. The question is this. Many of us are quick to say, "Oh, the government is not doing well. The president is stupid," which you should never say about any leader, even if they are ungodly. "The prime minister, whatever, is not doing well. They are doing wrong." The question is, if you are given free today to become the president of your country, do you have the capacity to lead? That's the question. So before we all start saying, "Oh, this person is not doing well, that person is not doing well," do you have the capacity to even do that thing? And this humbles many of us and makes us to begin to think, "Okay, let me grow up and develop capacity." And like somebody said, I was reading today or listening, he said, "The only people who criticize others are people who are lower than those they are criticizing." Have you ever seen any super successful person criticizing somebody who is doing lesser than them? Hardly. It doesn't really happen. The people who criticize others are people who don't have the capacity to handle what they are handling. And then they are angry, they are envious, and they begin to talk bad about them. Like somebody said, he said, "I did a YouTube video, you are criticizing it. How many videos have you done?" He said he went to check most of the people who are saying negative things about him. They have maybe one video, two videos, one view, 10 views in their video. And he has thousands of views. He has so much money. He's such a millionaire. And he said the people say negative things and the people are not doing well. They are even the ones who have the time to comment. Like T.D. Jakes said it some time ago, that he was writing an article and publishing it in a very popular magazine. At a point, he said he was not going to do it again because nobody was making any comment. And then the person who brought him to that realm said, hey, you know what? The people who read what you are putting there, they don't have the time to comment. They are so busy, they can't comment. It doesn't mean what you are giving is not valuable. They just can't comment. They are busy to even comment. They just pick one or two things and that's enough for them. Said, so don't give up and say they are not commenting. So we can't live our lives based on comments. That's another topic for another day. Or what other people are saying. Well, the point is this. The do's of opportunities. What are the things that make us attract opportunities and are able to maximize them? Develop capacity to take more. Lending your cords. Remember, if you are setting up a tent, maybe you went for camp meeting or camping in the wood, what do? You use stakes to keep this thing on the floor so that wind cannot blow the tent away. So God is saying, strengthen those stakes of your life so that the winds of life, the storms of life, will not blow away the tent of your destiny. Lending the cords. You know, you take some of the cords, you pull it to the back so that that thing can have more stamina. God is saying, do the same thing with every area of life. And it's your choice, my choice, to decide how much of the blessings of God I will receive. If my capacity as a believer is a cup, I can only receive a cup. If my capacity is a bucket, I can only receive a bucket. Or maybe a whole dam. So, what is your capacity today? What is my capacity? And your net does not have to break. It can receive and not break. We saw those two stories in the Bible. The same Jesus, the same miracle, the same large number of fish. I don't know whether it's the same size. But the Bible said large number. It used the same qualification for both of them. Large number. A, large number B. At A point, the net broke. At B point, the net did not break. So you can catch plenty of small fishes or catch plenty of large fishes. Many of us are busy catching a lot of fish, but those are small fishes. The value of those fishes are small. However, God's will is that we are able to also catch large fishes that have more value. If you look at your business and my business today, how much are people paying me? It's just a reflection that maybe I'm only able to catch small fishes or large fishes. In quotes, what's the second do of opportunities? Keep the fruit of the Spirit alive. While we are focusing on several other things, several other I-mandate things, this is how to manage your money, this is how to make money, this is how to create content and all those things in business. If you and I keep the fruit of the Spirit alive in our lives, that's Galatians chapter 5. If you have not read it before, you've forgotten, please go and read Galatians chapter 5, 19 to end. It tells us the works of the flesh. All the things that the flesh, the devil, actually pushes us to do. And it tells us what the Spirit of God manifests in our lives. Like love. If you show love to your clients, you will see that they will stay longer. They will invite other people. If you are full of joy, you will sell more than any other person. People can see joy in people. I mean, the world is so full of hopelessness that if you happen to be the one with joy, you will attract the right people. And remember, the Bible even says that with joy, we draw from the wells of water. And remember, the topic is the wells of water. So if I'm full of joy, I'm able to attract the right things into my life. Then what other thing? Peace. Let the peace of God that passes understanding fill your heart. In the midst of turmoil, in the midst of distraction, we keep pushing away opportunities. The Bible says, in the world we have tribulation. In the world there will be troubles. In the world there will be dollar going up, dollar going down, inflation, issues here and there. He said, you know what? But in me, you have what? Peace. Peace. He said, peace I give unto you. My peace that passes understanding. Peace I give unto you. My peace that knows no bounds is the one I'm releasing to you. What other thing? Faithfulness. When you say you're going to do something, you have to do it. Somebody worked for you, said, I'm going to pay you this amount. You can't pay less. You keep paying that amount. If anything is going to change, you need to tell them. Not that somebody has worked from morning till night, and then at the end of the day, you tell them, I'm sorry, I won't be able to pay the amount. No, That's not faithfulness. If you said, I'm going to appear by 2 p.m., you want to appear by 2 p.m. If you said, this is the amount of work and the quality of work I'm going to do for you, then you want to do it. Even as Christians, as ministers of the gospel, this is exactly what God is going to do. You better go and fast and pray and let God do it so that you'll be faithful. Because God is faithful. Then another thing, perseverance. You can't just give up at every challenge that comes along the way. That is what the Bible calls long suffering. That means you are permitting something for a long time. You are able to persevere. You are able to stay. That's what they call stamina. That when the wind comes and shakes you, you are still able to stand firm. Some gold mines will look like common dry well for days, months, and even years or decades. But you will only touch gold if you don't give up. Maybe you've been digging the well of certain areas of life for years, for months, for weeks, and it looks like everything is just dry, not even water. Let's say you even find water there, it would have been good. And maybe you found water and you're like, there's water everywhere. And what you need is gold. What you need is diamond. If you keep digging, as long as God tells you that's the way to go, if you keep digging, developing capacity along the way, developing skill and wisdom along the way, you will see that opportunities are naturally attracted to you. And before we close, let me just take one or two more minutes to just wrap this up. These are the points to note. Number one, actions can create opportunities. I have seen that those who do more things, who are more active, who take actions quickly, they have more episodes of failure. What do I mean by that? They tend to see more failure because they are doing more things. However, they will also have more success than those who think forever and are stuck in the wishing realm and just planning forever. Some are always planning. Some are always wishing. But get into action. Do something. Take action. Don't say, this is what will happen. First year. This is what will happen. Second year. What are you doing towards that way? I know, yes, some things may take 10 years. Some things may take months. But are you consistently moving towards that direction? Because if you don't move towards it, you can't get there. If, for example, I'm trying to go to Ibadan or Lagos or US or Canada or London, wherever I'm going, if I don't move, one thing is sure. Even you don't need any prophet to tell you that you will not get to that destination. But if I can move, even if I'm walking, then I know that it may take 20 years, it may take 10 years, but I will get there. While you develop wisdom to move faster along the way, but keep moving. Don't be inactive. Don't keep procrastinating, because these are the things that kill opportunities. Inaction and procrastination kill opportunities. Take your life in your hands. We see several scriptures in the Bible where somebody said, "And I took my life in my hands." Nehemiah had no clear divine call. There was no place in the Bible that God said, "Nehemiah, I'm now sending you to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem." No. He just had that zeal. He had that passion. And that created opportunity for him. He started taking steps. His mind was just not at rest. I'm so close to the king. How can I use this opportunity? Do you know, he was just a cupbearer, a servant, a common servant. It was just opportunity to be serving the king. He's just like any other servant. And then he maximized that opportunity. He rose up to become the governor because of the zeal of God. He took actions. And then David. David was anointed, but fighting Goliath was completely a choice for him to make. Do you know that the same anointing on David was the same anointing on Saul? In fact, Saul's anointing is older. It's more experienced when it comes to the anointing. But Saul did not do anything with the anointing. Goliath came, threatened the people for, I think, almost a month. I forgot the number of days. Threatening them, dishonoring the name of God. And guess what happened? David just took responsibility. It wasn't said that God said, "David, go and fight Goliath." No. It was like, "I have the anointing. I need to walk now. I need to take step now." The question today is this: how many of us will respond when God calls us to share our faith with our family and friends? Those are opportunities, spiritual opportunities, to become like Christ, to become true ambassadors of Christ. How many of us will respond when He puts a new idea in your heart to start a new business, to start a ministry, to do something different? How many of us will respond when He puts it in your spirit to give in church. God said, give this amount in church, and you pretended as if you didn't hear. That's an opportunity to be blessed that is going away. And when God says, give to the needy, and you pretend as if you didn't see that person. Or to provide counseling. This episode, this podcast we are doing today, it was just because I wanted to talk to one person. That was it. I didn't plan to do any episode, any podcast, anything. Then I later thought, if I want to talk to one person, 3 people can benefit from it. Okay, so I told him, invite your friends. Then I invited some other people. And that's how this episode has come. We are in 110 now. 110 Sundays. That's the meaning. How did that happen? I didn't even plan to do it. It was just an opportunity that showed up. Many people have been blessed through this now. But I didn't even see that coming. I just wanted to be a blessing to one person. And lastly, promptness is a major key for igniting the car of destiny. Promptness. Don't delay. Don't say, I'll think about it. Even if you are not sure, take at least a step. The least you could do, which is not the least, is to pray. It's a major thing. You are not sure. Okay, at least pray. Fast. Ask questions. Get mentorship. And then we see how God can turn what actually looks like a flicker of light to a floodlight that lights other people. Praise God. I hope you have been blessed today. I have been blessed myself because I pray to God that God bless everyone starting from me. I know I've been blessed. But I know when we listen to things like this, what we need is empowerment. Do you have any question? Oh, okay. Go ahead, please.
I wanted to ask concerning this particular question. Maybe in a particular circle, most of the time, it used to be like, when someone is pursuing his vision, why is always that even people that you look up to, people that you think that they might encourage you, even without even being a burden to them, still, yes, they are still discouraging you, even the people that are so-called leaders. So I don't know why is it like that, sir.
Okay, praise God. I think here's how to look at it. Every time somebody tries to discourage you in quotes, number one, there is always a message in that. Number two, it's a form of test to actually prove whether you believe in what you said you believe in or not. The first part where I said there's a message in that is there could just be something you are not doing right that those people see and you can't see. So every time you get a negative comment, God can use different things. God can just be telling you, hey, you are running the race, you are going the right way, or maybe the way you are going about it needs some adjustment. It could be the message. So if most people that you respect are saying the same thing, it could be a time to actually go back to God and say, God, what are you saying? Because I was listening to a message by somebody, Pastor Olushola Aregun. It's been a long time I heard that man. And I just stumbled on his message recently. And he was saying something like, you have some circles of influence in your life. That if somebody just comes randomly, maybe a prophet you don't even know, and just says he has a word from God from you, said you can discard it because it doesn't have an influence in your life. But let's say, for example, many of us are winners here. Bishop Edeko said, this is what God is saying at the moment, and you don't take it serious, that person may lose his life. That person may lose his blessing. That person may lose all the blessing God has had for him. Why? Because it's an influence upon your life. It's a minister that God has placed upon your life. Whatever he says to the winner's family doesn't necessarily mean it's for any other family. That's the truth. But if other family clinging to it, they can benefit from it. But it's primarily for those who have influence over their lives. So if the people saying things to you have influence over your life one way or the other, maybe leaders in church, leaders at work, or leaders in any way, you really want to take their word seriously also. It doesn't mean you have to listen to everything they said, but you get some wisdom from what they said and ask God, God, these people have influence over my life and they are saying this. Maybe I'm the one who is not saying it right. Show me, Lord, and God is going to show you. So that's how I can answer it. Number one, it could be God is passing a message Maybe the way you are going about the vision needs some adjustment, needs some wisdom. Two, it could mean that the devil is actually testing whether you believe in your vision. But you know what? Most times, two of them are always true. Most times. Like, God may not even be saying exactly what he is saying, but it could just mean that it's time for you to do a retreat. To say, God, am I doing it well? Is it time to check? What should I do better? What should I make adjustments to? So those are the ways by which I could actually answer that. It doesn't mean that maybe they are devils or something. It could just mean that God is speaking through them to you because they have influence over your life. I hope that has been helpful. And I know it's helpful to many of us. So for example, your parents, even if they are not born again, this is for all of us now, and your parents said they dreamt and saw something, you better take it serious. Because like he said in that message, he said, your parents, were they born again when they gave birth to you? So don't say because they are not born again, you are discarding everything they are saying. No, their words are still important. God speaks through anyone. He gave a dream to Pharaoh. Pharaoh was a wicked king. He wasn't the right king. God gave him a dream that saved a nation, that saved Israel. He was the one who gave a dream. Joseph was a spiritual person. He was the one that interpreted him. God didn't give Joseph that dream. He was a dreamer, chief dreamer of the world, but he didn't give him. Daniel, God gave Nebuchadnezzar a dream. And all the other people, he gave them dreams, but they needed spiritual people to interpret it. So, God can speak through anyone. However, it is now left for you and I to be spiritual enough to discern and to do what is right. I pray God blesses us as we step out into this new week. May it be a week of blessings, of success, of favor. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all and see you next week. Amen.
The good success.com.